If we turn to our first reading, it's Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. We'll read up to verse 28, and then we'll turn to Leviticus chapter 21 and read verses 21 to 24. At first, it's Leviticus 16 and verses 1 to 28. Let's hear God's word. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take off the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle off the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them, in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock, and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of the recording the holy place, reconciling the holy place, and of the tabernacle of the congregation, and of the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquity of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away into by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto the land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth, and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar, and he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in fire their skins, and their flesh, and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards he shall come into the camp. And then we'll turn to Leviticus chapter 21, and we'll read verses 21 to 24. Leviticus 21, and again reading at verse 21. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go into the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I am the Lord, for I the Lord do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel. A long reading, but I think it's important. Now, I would say this about what we've just read in Leviticus 21, that the Lord has nothing against those who are disabled. When he says that anyone with a blemish can't sacrifice, can't go into the Holy of Holies, it's not that he has anything against the disabled, because he says that he can eat the holy bread, he can eat the meat, he can eat just the same as those who do the sacrificing, because it shows a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is without blemish. So when I read this, that nothing that has a blemish should go into the Holy of Holies, it's not that God has anything against them, but he has given to us that which is perfect, and that's what he requires us to be perfect. So we're thinking about, don't ignore the most important, and that's that the veil has been rent in two. We notice in the Old Testament concerning Aaron, I think it's about 24 times, the Lord speaks concerning Aaron. I've got it all marked down here, the amount of times that God speaks to Aaron. And it seems to me in verse 17 that Aaron has to be working alone on this one day of the year. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and hath made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. 24 times it talks about Aaron. Now it talks about one man. There's no mention of Moses. There's no mention of anyone else. It's Aaron. One man working for God. And again, it brings us into the New Testament. There's only Jesus that works for his Father. It's important that we see the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The ceremonial law, it says here time and time again, he shall kill the goat of the sin offering. He shall make an atonement for the holy place. And he'll also make an atonement for himself. But the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus never made an atonement for himself. For he was the sinless Son of God. So there's similarities, but there's also differences. And the difference is that our Saviour is God himself. So don't ignore the important, the most important. You see, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 12, it tells us there that they were not to draw near. God was talking to Moses. Moses was up the mount. And God says to Moses, tell the people not to come near the mount. Not even their animals. Anyone that touches the mount shall be put to death. So the command was to the people, don't draw near. That's why we have the curtain. The people couldn't draw near. But when we come to the New Testament, it's not a command, it's an invitation. And the invitation is, let us draw near. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed with pure blood. In the Old Testament, they couldn't draw near to God. Only Aaron could go into the temple, into the Holy of Holies. Only Moses on several occasions could go up to the mount. Other times he was allowed to take the council. Sometimes he took Joshua. But on other occasions he alone entered into the cloud. But when we come to the New Testament, it's not keep your distance. It's come near. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden. You see, that which separates has been taken away. The veil of the temple has been rent in two from top to bottom. And we have to understand that it was from top to bottom. God done it. I wonder what the priest thought. The high priest of the day. And we know who the high priest was. It was Caiaphas. I wonder what he thought when Jesus was crucified. He thought, we've got rid of this man. I wonder what he thought when he went into the temple. And he went into the holy place to light the lamps. And to burn the incense. And he looked. And there was the curtain, whether it was torn in two or whether it was down, I don't know, it just said it was rent and it was on hooks. It could have been on the floor. I wonder what he thought then. Well, it doesn't tell us. But obviously, the temple was still being used in AD 70. Because it tells us there that Peter and John went into the temple to pray at the evening time. So it was still being used in AD 70 before the Romans came, and this was God's doing. The Old Testament is finished. And that's one of the things that was taken away and removed when the curtain was rent in two, was the legal ordinances. The ceremonial law was finished with. And if the Jews is not going to finish it, then God's going to finish it. For in AD 70, the Romans came and destroyed the temple. So there's no temple. If you want to be saved, look to Christ. He's the only way of salvation. For there is salvation in none other than, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's Him. Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth and the life. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the light. He is the living water. 23 or 24 times God spoke about He. And that was Aaron. He was the most important because he was the first high priest. He was the one that was going to minister unto the Lord. That's what it says in the scriptures. I find that amazing that God said to Moses, your brother, he will minister unto me. Not he will minister for me, but he will minister unto me. He was important. He. How much more important is He? He who is the Son of God. He who was with God and is God. And that's what happened. The first thing that happened, all the legal ordinances, when the curtain was torn in two, was abolished. Although they still went on, no doubt till AD 70, but they were of no avail. Secondly, the thing that was taken away was the separating sin. We were all born sinners. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, when we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. So there was a time when we were not without sin. And that was taken away. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Separating sin, that which separated us from God, was taken away. When we became saints and pursued the sinners. Oh yes, we still have sin. But we're saints. Paul said it in all his letters. When he's writing his letters, he's writing to the saints at Ephesus, Thessalonica, the Romans. And it was all because the rending of the curtain. And the Holy of Holies was laid bare. Heaven was laid bare. Heaven was opened. And the third thing that was taken away was our sinful nature. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, 4 that we become partakers of the divine nature. We don't become gods. Just because we've got the divine nature doesn't mean that we become gods. But we have the Holy Spirit. And that sinful nature has been gone, has been taken away. And we have a nature that causes us to worship God. We sin. But we shouldn't want to sin. We should not be slaves to sin. We should be masters over our sin because we have the Holy Spirit. But we still sin. That's why the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. If we repent of our sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, then that sin is taken away. You and I, if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ today, have a new nature because the Bible tells us, Paul tells us in Corinthians, that we are a new creation. Remember Genesis chapter 1? God said, let there be. And there was the universe. It never evolved. It was God that said, let there be. And there was the full universe. And when someone repents of their sin through grace, God says, let there be something that there wasn't before. And that's a new nature. And it's all because of the renting of the veil. Because God was opening up heaven to all those who would come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I said about 23 times, and Aaron working alone, and the Lord works alone. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it tells us there, and I've said it, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. As Aaron worked alone, the Lord Jesus Christ worked alone. He had no helpers. Look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Well, let's read from 1 to 3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he, there's that word again, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And then chapter 10 and verse 12. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Aaron worked alone. He had the responsibility of the people, to bring the people to God, to stand between the people and God. And it's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. He works alone. He alone gave his life. He alone was crucified. There was no one to help him. And because of that, let me just mention 1 John chapter 3 comes to mind. 1 John chapter 3, it tells us there in verse 5 that he was manifested to take away our sin. You see the word he, it keeps coming up. It's an individual. It's an individual. He was manifested to take away our sin. And in the same chapter, in verse 8, it tells us there that he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. He! This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He! He worked alone. What a lonely road he walked from Bethlehem. From Bethlehem to Calvary. He walked alone. Yes, he had encouragement sometimes when the Father sent the angels, but not very often. But he walked alone that lonely road. And it was all for me. It was all for me. That I might be saved. That I might be one of his children. That I might, at the end, enter into heaven. And it's the same for you if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, if you've had your sins forgiven. When men were sorrowful, and when men were mourning, and when men were angry, what did they do? They rent their clothes. It tells us at times when the priest was interrogating Jesus, and because of the way Jesus answered and he acted, it said he rent his clothes, tore the corner of it. So it was an own thing that if there was sorrow and shame and anger, this is what they used to do. And I was wondering about the temple, because the temple and the Holy of Holies was the place where God had his name. That's where he put his name. In a sense, God was dwelling there. And I wonder, when I was thinking about this, when men are mourning and are angry, they tore their clothes, I wonder if the temple was angry. Angry that the Son of God, the Son of Man, was crucified and put to death. And it ripped and rent the curtain in two. This is just my thoughts. Because the temple couldn't do it, it was God. But I'm just saying that where that curtain was, God's name was there. And I wonder if the temple, in a sense, was angry. Because he who was the temple, as it were, was being put to death. So it rent the curtain in two. But I also wonder, on the other hand, if the temple was rejoicing. It was rejoicing over the consequence of the death of the Son of God and the Son of Man. It was rejoicing because there was no more crying of dying animals. There was no stench of blood and flesh. There was no fire and ashes. These had finished. So I wonder if the temple, in some sense, was angry. But it was also rejoicing over the consequence of the Son of God who had been put to death. That's a thought. Can it be possible? Because God was on the other side. He was on the other side of the curtain. God's name was there. He had placed his name there. He was with his people. And when he saw and knew that his Son was not far away, just outside the gates, suffering and dying, because of his faithfulness to his Father, I've come to do my Father's will. Oh, I thank God that my Saviour was faithful. Not my will, but thy will be done, he says, in the garden. Tell him to come down. Do you think Jesus could come down? Well, when they come to arrest him, and he said, who do you look for? And he said, I am Jesus. And they fell back. He had the power. And he said, I can call on my Father, and we can have 12 legions of angels. Could he come down? Well, in one sense, he had the power to come down, but on the other sense, he couldn't come down because he had given his life a ransom for many. Don't ignore the most important. And the most important is this, that door is open. And who knows when it's going to be shut. And then there'll be like the five foolish virgins who knocked and knocked and cried and pleaded, but the door remained shut. And on that day, in Luke's Gospel, where we read about Lazarus and the rich man, think about that. Think about where Lazarus is. He's in the arms of Abraham. Comforting, like a babe in its mother's arms, comforted, warm, and happy, and content. But think of the rich man, he who refused God's offer of salvation. Think about him, in anguish and in pain, and that for all eternity. Well, maybe the temple was rejoicing because there was no more once a year exposure. Think about that Holy of Holies. The light was outside where they lit the lamps. But think of the Holy of Holies. it probably was dark for the whole year until the curtain was drawn aside. No more. Once a year exposure. Exposed to the world now. Until the Lord comes back again. The secret place opened daily to all who would come through Him. Through Him who is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. And in the same chapter he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. You see, when we read in Matthew, it tells us there when the curtain was rent, there was an earthquake. And it wasn't the earthquake that rent the curtain. Because if the earthquake rent the curtain, it would have damaged the temple. And there was nothing wrong with the temple. It was God who rent the curtain. It was God who opened up Himself for all to come. And the question this morning is, have you come? Have you visited Calvary? Have you visited Him who was hanging on that cross? He who was derided? He who loves so much that He was willing to lay down His life? He entered into death. God Himself, as man, entered into death where He had no right to be. Because the wages of sin is death. And He had no sin. And yet He was willing to enter into death. To lie without life. In a cold, dark tomb. You ever thought about how much your salvation has cost? It's quite easy to say Christ died on the cross. You can say that in a couple of seconds. But if you try to delve into it, if you stand at the bottom of the cross, as it were, in faith and in the Spirit, and look up and see this dying man, if you want a description of this dying man, look at Isaiah chapter 52 and verses 14 to the end. There you've got a true description of Christ on the cross. He's not made of silver and gold, and He's not on a cross at the moment where He's a nice young man with a long beard and the crucifixions in some churches. If you want a true description of the Lord Jesus Christ, look at Isaiah chapter 52 and the end verses, and it tells us there He was marred more than any other. And when Pilate brought Him out to the high priest and the people, and he said, behold the man, they would hardly recognize Him because of the beating that they took on His head and on His face and on His body. Remember the scourging? The scourging ripped your skin. It took your flesh. And it tells us they put clothes on Him and they put a cross on Him. No wonder they couldn't carry it. They had to get someone else to do it. If you want a good description of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not like you see in these pictures. He's not like you see in some of the churches. He was a beaten man. Beaten in the flesh, I meant. But not beaten spiritually. He was more than a conqueror. He was more than a conqueror. Let me just finish with reading this. As we started. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice. You notice it was a loud voice. You would have thought all that he had went through, he would have sort of whispered because he had no strength. But he had enough strength for all those that were around about to hear. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. And the way of salvation, the way of atonement had been accomplished. And if we are trusting in Christ this morning, we're here because he hung on that cross. Let's pray.